my mind. Told myself I'm strong enough to shake it and I'm trying. But I'm only human, I know loving you's a crime. If I take this cookie now, one day I'll do the time.
Slip me a Xanny at once. Somebody. I got the earth and the blunt. I get the skirt when I want. I get the skirt.
This is Sasha.
And this is Eli.
And you're listening to WGXC Agra.
You can find out about so many local events, like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday there's an open Irish music jam at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org. And add your own event to the WGXC community calendar and have it read on the radio at 90.7 FM by going to wgxc.org and clicking on the community calendar.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street. You belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Delmar Wellness Center of Alachua, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
What else do DJs get? I mean, we're just voices in the air, but we're what makes radio alive. And what do we get for it? Seems like every year you pack everything up, move to another town. Gets harder and harder to find a station that'll let you program music you want to play. And, well, you're 40 and there's some kid half your age who'll take your job and do it for half the money. And then you find yourself making silly demands. Free coffee. But that's my little moment of honesty, so we can get back to the nonsense.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia, and I am also from Hudson.
I'm Fatia. I'm 8 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week, often joined by our friend Georgia as well. And we talk about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
Bookish things. And that's what we're going to do today. We today have our youngest member, Fatia, and our oldest member, who's so old that she's officially an adult in my mind, because she just turned 21, Amelia. So we have quite the age range. And then, of course, me, the senior of us all. But we love talking about books with one another. And I'm excited you both are here today. Haven't seen Fatia in a while. Good to have you back, Fatia. Look forward to hearing from you. Why don't we start off with Amelia today?
So I have two new manga, both by Junji Ito, which you guys know I've talked about on the show before. He's a pretty popular horror manga artist and writer. I found these two books in Barnes & Noble, where I find most of the books I buy, because I got some gift cards from Christmas and my birthday. So I got to go and have a little, you know, shopping spree for myself. These two books are called The Liminal Zone and Black Paradox. Both, I think, are fairly new, because I had not seen them before, and I have most of his work that has had English translations in my little library. So I recognize that these two were new pretty immediately. The Liminal Zone seems more akin to the other books I have in that it's a collection of shorter stories, but it does have a cute little actual biography of Junji Ito in the back, which talks about some of his achievements, which I thought was pretty cool, such as the live action adaptations that a couple of his manga have gotten, and the some of the awards he has won, such as one of his works, Remina, has actually received the award for best U.S. edition of international material, which I thought was pretty cool. And I have Remina, and I have not read it yet, but I should now that I know it's gotten that honor. His adaptation of Frankenstein actually also won best adaptation from another medium, which obviously was from novel to manga or comic format. And I have that as well, which I also still have to read. And then Black Paradox, which I think is very, very new, is more centered around like internet horror, such as the idea of websites being haunted or certain animations or flash animations being haunted, which is a very new genre of horror that has very much risen with the internet. As people become more accustomed to the internet, I think that it's natural that horror becomes attributed to certain things that one would find only on the internet. Like when you were little, you went out camping and you told campfire stories about the things hiding in the woods. But now youth and children are more akin to spending their free time on the internet. So it makes sense that horror would be adapted to that medium now. And that this story kind of follows that idea, which I thought was very interesting because that's kind of the generation I've grown up in, where you hear about the scary things that are on the internet, some of which are real, some of which are obviously fictional, like hauntings and stuff like that. But I thought that was very interesting and something that I don't think Junji Ito has gone into before in his work. So I picked that up too. And those are the two new works I have, which I think are very cool. And I can't wait to read them.
That sounds right up your alley. I still haven't read Junji Ito. Do you have a suggestion for people that want to try his work out
for the first time? Okay, so the first work I ever read by Junji Ito was called Gyo, and I would not recommend that as the first as a first introduction to Junji Ito, because it leans heavily, heavily into body horror, which was not the best introduction for me. But if you did want to read like his classic, I would say Tomie is the best one. Spelled T-O-M-I-E, about a like essentially immortal woman. It kind of has themes of reincarnation and underlying messages about the objectification of women that are very interesting, told through like a horror lens. It's also one of the ones that had a live action adaptation in Japan, but I think the manga is better because there are just some things that his art conveys that a live action medium never could without looking cheesy or CGI'd. I've seen parts of the live action movie. I think it's okay. I think it doesn't look as good as the art though. And if you know Junji Ito's art style, you know that would be very hard to translate to any other medium. Even like, I think an anime would not be able to really capture what he does with just his unique style. But if you wanted to start out with one, either Tomie or Uzumaki are the best ones, because those are his two most famous works, and those are the two that have had live action adaptations. So clearly they're his most influential stuff. But yeah, those two are the ones I would recommend, definitely.
Well, talking about film adaptations reminded me of news that I didn't get to share with you yet, Amelia, which I know you'll be excited about, which is that the Nimona series it's coming. I don't know the date yet, but it's like really far along in production. It got canceled at some point, and
yeah,
it's been
I thought
it had
gotten canceled, but I'm very excited.
Yeah,
is Disney still doing that, or
I believe it's Netflix, but I'm not sure.
Okay, yeah, because Disney is the one that canceled it, I think. But I'm very excited about that. I love Nimona. I love that series. Well, I guess it started out as a series because it was a webcomic before, but I have it as the singular book.
Yeah, I'm curious how well an animated I also don't know how much it's an adaptation of the original material versus like a retelling or a continuation. But
well, the author,
I think it'll be fun regardless.
Yeah, the author Noelle Stevenson has worked a little bit in animation, I think. She worked on the reboot of She-Ra, I believe, on Netflix. Mm-hmm. So I have faith that if she's involved, which I assume she would be, she wrote the original comic, that it's going to be good.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if they're not directly involved, they're much excited about it. Like that's how I found out that it was happening, was through following them online and seeing some posts about it. So that's exciting. I think similarly to your experience with Junjito, it probably will not be the same experience because Nimona has a very interesting style to it. I think the animation looks a lot sort of fancier, more detailed in the artwork. But I think it'll still be fun because the characters are entertaining and interesting and funny at times. So I'm excited for that. But yeah, anyways, news. Whee! But why don't we hear from Fatia? We haven't heard from you in maybe a month. It's been a while since I've seen our wonderful co-host Fatia.
So,
what did you want to share today?
I wanted to share this. It's called October Trick or Treat by Fatia Chanda. Because I couldn't think of a story, like a book to make at Halloween, but then I think of one, so I decided to make this.
So now you're ready for next Halloween, far in advance. Cool. So tell us about your book. Oh, you're going to read it. Okay, cool.
Chapter 1. On October, on the last day of October, there is something called Trick or Treat. We get candy on trick or treating. It's really fun. We also get costumes too. And that's the end. But I can show you the pictures. It's like 2 pages, pretty short. Mm-hmm. And like there's this vampire here, the queen of vampires. And this is the witch holding candy.
I don't know if you should take candy from a witch. Unless they're a good witch. Yeah. Maybe they're a good witch. Or maybe they're a bad witch that does have good candy to share. I don't know. Who am I to judge? That's fun. Maybe you could make a book with little snippets of all your favorite holidays.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I can.
It could be fun. So have you had any fun books that you've read or things that you've done in the past month?
Yeah.
Since we've last seen you?
I read like 2 books called The BFG. Mm-hmm. The BFG is like really fun. It stands for The Big Friendly Giant.
Yeah.
It's like a really good book. It's like this giant and there's like 9 other giants. I forgot their names, but there's also one that's really fierce and scary and being mean to the BFG. And there's this girl called Sophia who helped BFG out in many things. And there's another book I read. It's called Charlotte's Web. It's like really cool. Yeah, it's like a pig named Wilbur who loves, and Charlotte's parents wanted to like kill Wilbur to eat him.
Not Charlotte, Ferns. Because Charlotte's the spider. I get them confused too.
Yeah.
Because Fern's a major character too.
Charlotte's Web when I was little. I remember reading that book. We read it in like the same class. I think we read Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, I think. That was a fun one because we got to watch the movie at the end. And I always loved books where you got to watch the movie at the end of the class.
Did you watch the live action Charlotte's Webber?
Yeah, we watched the live action one. I actually was the one they asked to bring it in because I had the movie. I had both the animated and the live action one. I think the only other time we got to watch movies after reading books after like middle school was The Crucible and The Great Gatsby, of course, which is what made me fall in love with The Great Gatsby was Baz Luhrmann's movie. Basically, I think I just like books where you get to watch the movies during class.
Yeah. That's interesting. Both, so Charlotte's Web and the BFG have both been made into movies, and both of them had versions that were out when I was a kid that were animations, and then have, well, I don't, yeah, I guess live action or heavily CGI'd live action when it's the BFG, but so like more your time decade would have had access to those live action ones. So it's just interesting that they both have that. But I'd never seen the BFG animation, I don't think. But I did watch Charlotte's Web animated version a lot as a kid. I read the book too, but I saw the movie many, many times and really enjoyed it. But that's cool that you're reading all these like classic chapter books. Are you reading those in school or just for fun?
Like, I read the BFG and Charlotte's Web a couple times at home. And I also read like both one time at school, and I really liked it, so I wanted to get one at home to read again.
Cool. It's really fun. I was trying to think of if there's any specific like classic kids books that I haven't read that I really want to read, because some of them are so good. And when I read them finally, you know, I didn't read them as a kid, and then I read them now and I'm like, how did I wait 30, 40 years to read this? But I was reminded of that because I saw a preview for Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, which is, there's a movie adaptation coming out, live action, which looks pretty good. I'm excited to see that. I liked that book. I did not read that book as a kid, but read it, I don't know, sometime in my adult life, I read that. So I'm excited to check that out. But yeah, if anyone has any favorite classic kids books that you think I should read that maybe I haven't yet, feel free to suggest them, any that stand out to you. But I'm going to talk about a graphic novel that I read recently. It came out at the beginning of January, and it's also an adaptation. We've been talking a lot about adaptations on the show, but it is an adaptation of the book, or the novel, The Librarian of Auschwitz, which was by Antonio Iturbe. So it's based on the novel by Antonio Iturbe, and the graphic novel was adapted by Salva Rubio, translated by Lilith Zekulin-Thwaites, and illustrated by Loreto Aroca. And I would say it's geared towards maybe upper middle grade or teens. I think it's pretty accessible to a wide range of readers, but of course it takes place during the Holocaust. So there's a lot of hard topics in terms of horrible things that happened during the Holocaust to so many people. And it's based on a true story. So the original novel was based on a true story, and this is based on that novel. And so it's based on the real life experience of Dita Kraus, who was a young woman when her family was taken. She was 14, actually, when she was taken with her family, with her mother and her father, from the Terezin ghetto in Prague to Auschwitz. And she had an interesting experience in Auschwitz, or a different experience, I should say, because she was in a part of the camp that the Nazis were using to show to visitors when they came, to show that things were not so bad in the camps and that people were treated okay. So even though her experiences were terrifying and horrifying in many ways, they were not as bad as some people's experience at Auschwitz, although they were still, it's hard to talk about without seeming like they weren't that bad, but they were still horrible. But
it's like she was part of the facade they showed to,
yes, exactly,
people on outside of the camps.
Yeah. And it's called The Librarian of Auschwitz because she was a big lover of books and reading. And while there were not many books in their camp, there were some, and she was the keeper of those books and made sure people could access them in a way that was safe, because they could get in trouble if they were found. And so it kind of has, it's just an interesting tale that shows sort of a different experience in the camps.
but without ignoring the true like devastation and horrible acts that happened there, both to her and to people that had it far worse off than her. So it's a good introduction to the topic. Seems like from the text of the book that the goal of the adapter was to give an introduction to the story and encourage people to read the book, the original fiction novel. And I'm curious how many people will read this book and then decide they want to read more, which maybe they will. It was definitely a shorter work, I think, because they were trying to just sort of highlight the plot points and timeline and some of the feelings from the main novel. But I think it was a good book, and I think people that are interested in learning about and hearing stories from the Holocaust, from a survivor of the Holocaust, although she didn't write the book, but it's her story, would find this interesting. So that's The Librarian of Auschwitz, adapted by Salva Rubio and Loreto Aroca from the original novel by Antonio Iturbe. And so that's out now. People can access it through their local library or their favorite bookstore. Yeah, a tough read, even though, as we noted, the experience was not as tough as some. Still, tough read. But I thought the artwork was really good. Really well done book. So we don't have much time left, but I thought I could highlight a couple of books, either recent releases or in one case one coming out soon, that people might be interested in. These are not ones that I have read. So the first one I'm going to share is a novel, a middle grade novel that came out this week called World Made of Glass by Amy Polonsky. And some people might know Amy Polonsky as the author of Gracefully Grayson, which is a book that was a Battle of the Books option. Can't remember if that was a year or two ago, but recently. But this is a new one, and I'll read the description. Iris tries to act normal at school, going through the motions and joking around with her friends. But nothing is normal, and sometimes it feels like she'll never laugh again. How can she, when her dad is dying of a virus that's off limits to talk about? When she knows that soon, all she'll have left of her kind, loving dad are memories, photos, and a binder full of the poems they used to exchange. In a sea of rage and grief, Iris resolves to speak out against the rampant fear, misinformation, and prejudice surrounding AIDS, and find the pieces of dad that she never knew before. Along the way, Iris might just find new sides to herself. Award-winning author Amy Polonsky has crafted a lyrical, tender, earth-shattering novel that will stay with you long after you've turned the last page. This has got really great reviews, a lot of starred reviews. It just sounds like an interesting book. I think the focus on a young person who is dealing with an illness of a parent, and one that has some stigma attached to it at the time, is really interesting, and I think will be an important book for people to read and share. So that's World Made of Glass by Amy Polonsky, and it came out January 17th. And the other one I wanted to mention is another adaptation from a narrative format to a graphic novel format. And it is Bomb, The Race to Build and Steal the World's Most Dangerous Weapon by Steve Shenkin. And it is illustrated by Nick Bertozzi. So the original work is the same title, but by Steve Shenkin. And it's a work of nonfiction. I think it's often shelved in the teen section, but sometimes in the middle grade section. And this one is geared toward ages 10 to 14. So it's a good middle grade graphic novel. And I will read the description for this one. In December of 1938, a chemist in a German laboratory made a shocking discovery. When placed next to radioactive material, a uranium atom split in two. That simple discovery launched a scientific race that spanned three continents. In Great Britain and the United States, Soviet spies worked their way into the scientific community. In Norway, a commando force slipped between enemy lines to attack German heavy water manufacturing. And deep in the desert, one brilliant group of scientists was hidden away at a remote site at Los Alamos. This is the story of the plotting, the risk-taking, the deceit and genius that created the world's most formidable weapon. This is the story of the atomic bomb. New York Times bestselling author Steve Shenkin's award-winning nonfiction book is now available, reimagined in the graphic novel format. Full-color illustrations from Nick Bertozzi are detailed and enriched with the nonfiction expertise Nick brings to the story as a beloved artist, comic book writer, and commercial illustrator who has written a couple of his own historical graphic novels, including Shackleton and Lewis and Clark. Accessible, gripping, and educational, this new edition of Bomb is perfect for young readers and adults alike. So that is Bomb, the race to build and steal the world's most dangerous weapon graphic novel edition by Steve Shenkin and Nick Bertozzi. I've not read the original nonfiction work, but it has been praised a lot. Comes very highly suggested. I have read other works by Nick Bertozzi, including Shackleton, which I really enjoyed. And I have to say, I like a graphic novel nonfiction work quite a bit. I find that it's an interesting way to learn some information without having to go in a deep dive into it. And then if I feel like doing a deep dive after, I can do that on my own. But I like getting like a little bit of information. And it sounds like they cover a lot of areas with this book. So definitely going to check it out. And that comes out this coming week on January 24th. Those are two new releases that I wanted to highlight this week. Before we go, do either of you have anything that's coming up that you're excited about or wanted to share?
I don't think I have anything specific that's coming out. I'm excited about that Nimona thing you told me about, and I have two new books to read, so I'm excited to get onto those.
Dive on in. How about you, Fatia?
My mom's birthday will come.
Oh, exciting. Happy birthday for your mom.
It's on June.
Oh, it's still a while away. Well, happy birthday to me too, then. My birthday's in June. I'm excited for my birthday too.
Yeah.
I know both Amelia and Fatia's sister, Mashuda, both just had birthdays. So happy belated birthday to both of them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, any listeners out there having birthdays between now and June and maybe even last month, happy birthday to you too. Belated or future or current if it's your birthday today and you're listening. But we hope everyone out there, regardless of when their birthday is, has a great week filled with lots of quality reading time. We'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Until then,
happy reading.
What you gonna do? Boy, it's gonna be mine, tried and true. But hey, hey, hey now, give it to me straight. Am I gonna be the one, or just another?